It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour. Welcome one, welcome all to the best and only podcast that features our league of record. Chief, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, Chaz. Apparently we have a huge following that I was not aware of with this podcast. Apparently we've got hundreds of listeners or something. What's going on here with this?
Chaz,
yeah, so
I have a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh,
who is that?
Uh-oh, do I hear Joe Bryan's music? What is that?
What?
The panda is here.
How did you get into this podcast?
You got to know people, Chaz, and I know people.
Maybe
okay,
maybe
Joe.
Maybe
what
might
what
help them hack into it? I don't know. I don't know how this happened.
Oh, jeez. All right. Okay, Joe. Well, welcome to Chief and Chaz.
Yeah, thank you. Just full disclosure for all listeners, I have had 4 or 5 beers, a couple mystery shots, a pitcher of margaritas. I think that's it. So
now question about the mystery shots.
Yes.
What did they taste like? Were you just handed shots and people you just threw them back? How did this work? Why were they mystery shots?
Yeah, and full disclosure again, we were at a Mexican restaurant, and so it was pretty obvious it was going to be tequila.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was not good kind of tequila.
But
yeah.
So we got a nice toasty panda tonight, is what you're saying.
I'm in a really good place right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're in a good place not only because of your libations, but you're in a good place because you're sitting number 2 overall with a nice bye week sitting ahead of you. So you must be feeling pretty good.
I am feeling good. Not going to lie. Really thought Ertz was going to do me in last night, but
you were owed one. You were owed a tie watch. Tie watch karma swung back to you last night after that stupid Saints game earlier in the year, Saints Skins game that was just one of the worst or one of the most improbable tie watch victories I've ever seen for somebody.
Yeah, I felt like my team was deserving of a bye all year, so it even though I couldn't wrestle away the regular season title, it feels good to be able to take a week off and play in 2 weeks.
I mean, how does it feel like, you saw the stat, the Twitter thing I put out there about, the difference between Tyreek Hill and Antonio Brown, even though they're so close in points. I mean, for the most part, your team has been has had a lot of feast or famine, boom or bust weeks, and it's worked out well, obviously. I mean, what has been your general feeling owning this team all year, just having so many high variance players?
Yeah, it's been, it's been tough at times when you put up 160 one week and the next week you're like scraping by to get to 90 or 100. But early on, Thielen was so solid. He kind of kept the floor pretty high. Even Kamara, the first 4 weeks specifically before Ingram came back, he was a monster. So it was really solid early, and then it, I had the ups and downs with, like you said, some of the boomer bust players I've had. I've been lucky enough to have enough of them that at least, one or two every week would go off, and that would kind of keep the floor relatively low. So.
Gotcha. I mean, obviously this is your first year, in a long time, not as part of a duo. So
was Tim holding you back?
Deciding?
Oh, don't try to get me to throw Broski under the bus. There's no way I'm doing that. No, it was, in all honesty, I had a very similar draft strategy to when Timmy and I would do it together. My strategy going in was 2 expensive running backs, 1 expensive receiver, and then fill in the rest. And as anyone who plays in our league knows, that's not what my roster looked like, after the draft. And I can actually thank Chaz for that, mostly for just stealing most of the expensive running backs early on. So that prevented me from getting the 2. I was in a bidding war with Gelch for Melvin Gordon, but it just went too high after I already had Kamara. And then Kat stole Antonio Brown from me. So at that point, after I had Kamara, but I didn't really have anyone else, I pivoted to – I just want to get a bunch of good receivers, once the running backs kind of dried up. And I happened to just hit on a bunch of good ones. I was really high on Juju going into the year. I thought, you know, Big Ben chucks it a ton. Someone else has to catch him. So I overpaid what some people think for Juju, but then
clearly did not. Absolutely
turned out well. I ate my words on Juju when he put up 31 on me in week 12 to basically end my season.
He sure did. Yeah, he basically put the hammer down on you, Hino.
Yeah, he did.
And then with Hill and Thielen, I just wanted to go after good offenses. That was one of the things I looked for was. I'll take some talented receivers on good offenses, and I thought Minnesota and Kansas City would put up points, and it happened to work out for most of the year.
And you were correct. So, I mean, that strategy, even though it changed, I mean, you've hit – I mean, I feel like for the most part, every team has hits and misses, but I feel like, you know, obviously your hits have hit, and even what you could even quantify as misses for you have basically been – average, nowhere close to a miss. I feel like for the most part you've had one hell of an amazing team coming out of the draft, whereas, you know, I juxtapose that with Mancuso, where I feel like he's had a little bit of luck with some of his players coming on because of other external things happening. I feel like your team has been very complete from the draft to now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're going to think, you know, what was any of my misses or what, you know, close to misses, you know, Jimmy Graham has been okay, but I think he's still like TE10 or something. So even that's,
it's been such a down year for tight ends.
He hasn't been good. You know, but, yeah. My quarterback, I think Mancuso said it in our chat. I think I'm like one or two just with my streaming of quarterbacks. So I've played that position.
Yeah, that was actually something that you ending up with Big Ben, me going into the draft, that was actually my original QB plan, was to get Big Ben. I actually did that in another league prior to our draft, but I ended up with Brady, which was like totally unexpected because I was just price enforcing Brady. Otherwise, I probably would have been in the bidding with you on Big Ben there. I don't know if I would have gone. I forget what you got him for, but I don't know that I would have gone that high on him.
Oh no, I got him for a dollar or two.
Oh yeah, I would have put. Yeah,
you got him for almost nothing.
I would have put $2 on him. And
yeah. I originally started with Big Ben and Stafford, and Stafford
was horrible.
Has been terrible, but I ended up pivoting to obviously the trade with Timmy for Goff was big, and then I played Jameis a few times as well in his good weeks. So
how frustrating has Kamara been? Since Ingram has returned, not to say that Kamara's been bad, but you know what he's capable of because you saw it in those first 4 weeks, and you know, I feel like he's had a couple down weeks here in recent weeks. Just how has that experience been being a Kamara owner since Ingram has returned?
Very frustrating. It's because you can see when he's the only guy there. He's going to put up monster numbers. That's a great offense to be a part of. Obviously, he catches the ball, which is what I look for in almost all my running backs. He gets, you know, he was converting the goal line carries. So it's been frustrating, and honestly, even more so than Ingram, it's just been the Saints offense in general the last 3 or 4 weeks. You know, there's, you know, some Arnold guy is scoring, some receiver that no one's ever heard of is scoring. I think Breeze has thrown touchdown passes now. Different players or something, yeah. I think. So it's like, it's not even like Ingram stealing all these touchdowns. I mean, Ingram hasn't been that good either.
He had like one or two good games, and that's been it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just their offense over the last month has just, I'm guessing they're saving him for the playoffs. I mean, obviously, I have no idea what Sean Payton's thinking, but, you know, that's my guess. I'm hoping they break him out these next few weeks here for me in the playoffs, but we'll see. I think I texted this in the group chat, I think, a few days ago. I think Kamara is going to be the one that will be the kind of litmus test for me in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If I get peak Kamara, I think I'm going to be pretty tough. If I don't, you know, I think I'm beatable.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I think that obviously that comes with the variance, right? For the Steelers, what is their matchups for the playoffs? Are they home? Are they away? Because obviously they play better at home.
Great matchups.
Really good. Very good.
For me, I think at least they got They got the Patriots in week 15. So I see that as a shootout possibility at home. And then they got the Saints on the road, but indoors, which to me, I think that's a good matchup for Juju and Kamara. So I actually like my matchups for a lot of my big players.
Yeah, I'm sure the over-under on that game is going to be pretty decent.
Steelers-Saints, I mean, the Saints' defense has been decent of late, but that could be – I wouldn't say it would be on the level of the Chiefs-Rams game from a few weeks ago, but I feel like it could have that potential where, like, both teams get in the 30s or low 40s.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I agree. It feels like it could turn into a shootout for sure.
Okay. Obviously, Joe, you're in playoffs, you're in a great position. You're my pick for winning the title. So I hope you take it home. And since we're talking about potentially you winning a championship, we should pivot to the fact that Heino is not in the playoffs, like we discussed last week. And
thanks for rubbing it in. We'll have to be,
you are welcome, Chief. You will have to be shipping off that beautiful trophy to the new winner. How does that feel knowing that your time with that thing is limited?
I mean, I knew it was going to come to an end at some point. It's been nice to have, but I will ship it as soon as we have a new winner. And well, actually, probably not, because I'll be on the road at that point. But when I return in January, whoever gets, well, I think, will I have to ship it back to you first, though, Chaz? Or,
okay. Yeah, you'll ship it back to me. I will insert the new, winner's nameplate. And also, I think because it's a little broken, I might do some repairs to it just to make it a little bit more solid for shipping.
Okay.
I may or may not even be planning on investing in a small, nice case to actually ship it in. So that way it won't be damaged in shipment, because I guess I just didn't pack it well enough last time. So that way it gets from owner to owner very safely, and it has sort of a permanent home away from wherever it's going to be.
Yeah, that works. I still don't – I did not do anything to the trophy. I didn't add any names. I didn't add any asterisks. So the Lord knows I'm tempted. I got markers sitting right by that thing. I could put an asterisk on anytime I want.
You could, but don't forget, everything's 3D printed, so I can just pop them out, the nameplates out, and get new ones printed, so it'd be like it never happened.
What if I hammered in a couple nameplates from like 08 and 09, and, would you pop those back out, or what would you do?
It depends on how much damage you did, because I don't know if people realize, obviously it was 3D printed, right? So that took about 240 hours of 3D printing to fully put together, to have just printed. Wow. And then all the additional time that I spent, basically making it not look like it was 3D printed, layers of primer coat and wax and buffing and all that stuff. So I'd be a little peeved if you did that, but,
I just want to go a quick shout out to Chaz for that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Much appreciated from the league.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. It was just something that I've always wanted to do, and I know we had always talked about it, but no one was taking the initiative, and obviously we all have lives going on, and I just figured, if it's going to get done, I might as well just try it and see what happens. And I didn't want to say anything until it was in a position where I actually was pretty happy with it, and that's why no one knew about it until Thanksgiving weekend last year, because that was at the point where I was like, okay, this actually is going to be something. Because for all I knew, it was going to be a complete disaster. And then I would, outside of Cat, no one would ever know about it, and that'd be okay. But it turned out the other way around. So
well, let me ask you this, Joe. As somebody who was dying to win a title and finally got one last year, how badly do you want to win a title in this league in particular? Like, what's the level of, I guess. Desire and
thirst.
Yeah, the thirst level.
What is the thirst level?
I mean, as you guys know, I'm not very competitive.
Right,
at all.
Right. No, you're notably anti-competitive. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I really, really don't care about winning or anything. No. Fuck that. Yeah, of course I want to win. Are you kidding me? Excuse my language. Beep that out if you have to, Chaz.
No,
you should beep it out, Chaz, because we're in danger of losing sponsors now. So you should.
No, we're not, because we have the explicit tag. So we're okay.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Good producing by you, Chaz.
Thank you.
Anyway.
No, I mean, this would be big time. I, I've won one of my other leagues once before. I usually do pretty well in that league. I think as a lot of us talk about this league, I feel like it prepares you for all your other leagues, you know, times 10. But this one would be extra special. Obviously good friends with basically everyone in this league. First year that I've been alone for a while. So it'd be nice to, you know, to take it down. I feel like this is probably the best team I've ever had. I know Broski and I had a pretty good team with
was it two years ago, right?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. We were led by Antonio and DJ. I think both were number one at their positions that year. But this one's probably a little deeper in terms of having Kamara and Zeke, you know, Juju and Hill. It's a little boomer bust that we've kind of already touched on that. So, I mean, I think there is a chance that if I get the bust week, you know, I think it's a definite beatable team. But at this point, all I need is 2 weeks, you know, 15 and 16. So if I can get a couple big weeks, you know, I like my chances. I think Mancuso's team is very formidable. Not quite as boom or bust as mine.
Well, his, but, you know, in the same way that yours kind of relies on, you know, the Steelers and the Saints, and his is going to go the way of the Packers offense. You know, that's probably his biggest concern coming into the playoffs is.
Which at this point isn't a great offense to be behind, which is kind of funny to
say. Yeah.
But they've, you know, as a Packers fan myself, it's been pretty disappointing recently, and he's got a really tough matchup for his semis. So whoever gets
is it the Bears?
It's Johnny and Jake, right? I believe are playing, and the winner gets Mancuso. The Packers play at Chicago that week. You know, there's a chance, you know, they don't put up more than, you know, 17 points, 14 points, maybe 20. So I think whoever gets him that week, I don't know the rest of his matchups. I haven't looked at that or anything, but as you said, that's a big part of his team. So if the Bears can play as well as they have on defense recently, I think whoever gets him in the semis has at least a better shot than usual, I should say.
Have we ever had the number one, number two seed go to the title game?
I can't recall.
Mancuso, you're gonna have to fact check.
Definitely
this.
Not the last 2 years because I was in the title each of the last 2 years and I never had a bye. 2015 I blocked from my memory. I don't remember what happened then. Did we even have a league in 2015? I don't know. And before that, I don't really remember.
Fair enough. All right. Well, so, you know, we're talking about matchups. Let's get into it. I think obviously there's only two matchups this week that we really have to talk about, right? I think we're in agreement there.
Well, yeah, we don't need to talk about the consolation bracket.
Okay. So let's first talk about the matchup between Goop and Mike. Obviously, you know, Mike came out of the gates incredibly strong, cooled down a little bit, and then, you know, both Mancuso and Brian were able to edge him out and beat him out for those one and two spots. So Mike's now forced to go to fend off number six seed in Goop. You know, I look at this and I see, okay, you know, Drew Brees against Tampa Bay. I wrote off Tampa Bay, and then last week they give Cam Newton a hard time. Cam Newton against the Cleveland defense. Cleveland defense is not bad, and he's not been what he needs to be. So, you know, when I start looking at this matchup, you know, there are obviously players that I really like on Goop's side. Obviously, I think Tariq Cohen's fantastic, but he's going against the Rams. I like Lamar Miller, but the Indy defense has been sneakily good. You know, there's all these things that, you know, I like the players on Goop's teams, but some of his matchups this week, their player matchups are not good.
Hey, I see what you're saying, Chaz. I look at Mike's team and, you know, Mike has just kind of suffered from, I guess he peaked a few weeks ago and I don't want to say he's not running on fumes by any stretch of the imagination, but now like James White to me is no longer a running back one because now Burkhead's back there and they're suddenly giving the ball to their fullback at the goal line and all this weird stuff. The Falcons offense has really taken a nosedive in the last few weeks.
They do get the Packers this week.
So
good point.
Put up 40.
Well, Julio doesn't score touchdowns, so because Steve Sarkisian is an idiot. We'll see if Golden Tate is just a guy in the Eagles offense right now. I know he had a touchdown the other day, and Dallas's defense is pretty good. Gurley's going against the Bears, and if there's any team that's going to shut him down, it could be them. So I don't think Mike has great matchups either. So
that's fair. I mean, obviously Gurley's been like the human cheat code this year, right?
Right.
That Chicago matchup is nasty. So
I think the big thing I've seen with Mike's team is the running back production, as Heino kind of just spoke to. Even Mac had a couple of those games
where
he was looking great. Where he was putting up 20 plus. But he's kind of come back to earth with a couple other running backs that they use. I have White in my other league, so I've kind of seen that regression over the last few weeks. So I think Mike's just has he's got a higher variance than he had in the middle of the year where he was really putting up strong numbers.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I mean, let's talk about predictions. I mean, my gut is telling me Goop is going to win this matchup, and it's going to be a close matchup, like 10-15 points. That's what I'm foreseeing. Could be wrong, but I mean, what do you guys think? Where do you think it's going to land?
I guess I would favor Goop just slightly, though. I think it's a toss up. I'll go with Mike just because he's been the more consistent team all year. I'll go with Mike.
All right. O'Brien, you're the tiebreaker.
Oh, man. I was looking at this knowing it would be discussed. I think Mike's team has just a little higher floor with Cam and Julio and Gurley. And I know Gurley doesn't have a great matchup, but I think he's kind of matchup-proof.
I think
for the
so,
most part.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean Mike, but I wouldn't be shocked if this went the other way.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Now let's talk about our second matchup. This is an interesting one in Johnny and Jake because I basically like half of each of their teams. And so for me, it's going to end up just being who's going to have the better day. You know, I look at Jake's team. Obviously, he's got just pure fire with Mahomes. Mixon's been solid. Josh Adams, we thought was sort of coming on, but then he's just getting destroyed because the line's not able to create holes for him, which obviously we know
he did get 20 carries last night, though, so that's a good sign. But
he's getting the carries, but he's not getting the work. He's not getting done.
True.
So, Thomas is cooled. You know, if you remember, there was a stat I put out there where Thomas was catching like 90-something% of his catch is passes coming his way. He's cooled a little bit, obviously, and part of that has to do with what we're talking about, where Breeze has just started throwing to everybody. Was it Mancuso that said he's throwing people in the stands? So that's working out. Gordon is what he is. Sutton's come on, so I'll give him that. The guy I'm intrigued by is Cameron Bray. With the O.J. Howard injury, given the history that Winston has with Bray, I would have thought I would have seen more targets, but Bray last week did not get a target.
They seem to like Adam Humphries a little more.
Your boy Adam Humphries. Yeah. Yeah, Humphries with an umph, right?
By the way, Joe Bryan has stolen the mantle from the Gelchins of having even though he traded Thielen, the best white wide receivers in the league. Adam Humphries and Adam Thielen this year. Joe gets the white wide receiver crown this year, which was just basically passed back and forth between both Gelchins over the last few years.
Yeah,
also,
true.
Also, a quick shout out to Gelch for that. I was kind of high on Hogan, and thankfully Gelch was even higher. So appreciate him taking him off my hands at the draft and let me get Juju.
Yeah, that worked out well. Jake's got Kerryon Johnson.
Is he back? I don't know.
I
don't know. I maybe he's back.
I saw he was questionable.
Breed is out for sure. I guess Jake will go with either Coleman or Jeffrey if Kerryon Johnson can't go in that slot.
You know, the one thing that I question is, you know, Jake has obviously Mahomes, but he's had Luck in his back pocket the majority of the year. I'm surprised that Jake never took the opportunity to move
Luck. I tried.
Really?
Multiple
okay.
weeks and multiple times to get either Luck or Mahomes for him. But I guess, you know, with Jake, he was saying how, you know, he's had a difficult time the last few months. I guess real life got in the way of meaningful trade discussions. But there were two Fair times enough. During the year where we were kind of talking about deals and just never quite got to the finish line. So I tried.
Quarterback values are just – I think they're so hard to trade for because – you know, they put up big points, but there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. So what's
right.
what's the actual worth of a quarterback? And, you know, some people might think like, you know, this guy's a, you know, top 10 performer, but, you know, the 15th performer is like a point behind.
Right. I was kind of like you, Joe, towards the end of the middle and end of the year, I'm just streaming quarterbacks. I don't think my quarterback situation is what cost me, I feel like I did all right in terms of patching it together all year. I think it was more Leonard Fournette being a bust and Derrick Henry being a bust that killed me more so than, you know, not having the number one or two quarterback on my roster. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree completely. If you look at, you know, if you look at people in the playoffs, I don't think many of their top three, you know, spenders from the draft, I doubt many of them had injury or you know, seasons that weren't very good. I'm not.
Right.
I don't know that for sure. I'm just guessing.
Hmm. Okay, those are good points. I mean, what are your guys' takes on Johnny's team? I mean, obviously Wilson started off the year not what we expected him to be, but he's come on strong.
He's come around though. Games.
I think obviously Barkley is a strong play, given the fact that Washington now has Mark Sanchez starting behind them. I would expect the Giants defense to take control of this game and then have Barkley take a ton of carries. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw 20, 25 carries for Barkley. I don't have any idea why Jordan Howard is in his lineup. I would have anybody but Jordan Howard, but that's just me.
I would take a flyer on Rex Burkhead now that Burkhead's back.
That's what I was thinking. I saw at the bottom of his lineup, he's got him there. Obviously, I think he's fine with Adams. You know, Moore and Woods are sort of flex shots.
Woods and Kittle, all former members of the Hungry Hungry Hinos this year, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, is it those guys' turn this week to catch a touchdown, right? I feel like that's what it's going to end up
being. I mean, this is another matchup where I honestly could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if either wins.
Yeah, this one's a little bit more muddled for me. Is there somebody that you would prefer to win? I mean, I think I prefer Johnny to win just because of consistency. I know he sort of limped into playoffs a little bit. God, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, as a playoff participant myself, outside of Mancuso, who I think poses the biggest threat to my title chances, Johnny scares me.
It's because
of his star power at all three positions.
Okay,
so you're saying Adams, Barkley, Wilson?
Exactly. At least recently, Wilson has been that top five quarterback, top 10 quarterback.
Yep.
Barkley could go off at any time. He could catch 15 passes like he has earlier this year.
I mean, dude's number two running back this year, so.
Yeah, and Adams. I've seen that offense enough. Obviously, I've watched most of their games. Rodgers trusts no one else on that whole team. So he's going to get, you know, his fair share of targets. And they got decent matchups outside of maybe that Bears matchup in week 15. So to me, in terms of, you know, who I wouldn't want to play, I think it's Johnny, mostly because of, you know, the big stars he's got. Cause to me, that's what's the most worrisome is I hate going against guys that I think could put up 30 plus. And there's only a handful.
That's true. That's true.
And thankfully I own a couple. Of them.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. But yeah, it's interesting. Cause obviously, you know, Chief and I have speculated most of this year on stuff. But it's interesting to hear your viewpoint, Joe, because you're in playoffs. So hearing your
who would you most not want to face, which is interesting.
That was a really interesting point. Are there any, you know, given what you've seen this year, Joe? You know, Chief and I last week talked about some changes, you know, potentially in like league format or scoring or things like that. Was there anything that you heard us talking last week that's interesting for you that you would want to explore more?
Yeah, so I listened to the podcast last week and kind of the discussion that followed after it. I'm very on the fence on the two quarterbacks or the super flex, whatever you want to call it. To me, it's the same thing, basically.
Yeah,
close to it. It's just such a fundamental and big change to our league. I get the point that we've done this league now for 9 or 10 years, depending on when you want to start it. And so maybe it's time. I do like all the look back on the stats that Mancuso provides to us. I find it interesting and kind of fun to, you know, basically just follow along as he provides those to us. And it's kind of interesting to, you know, be able to just compare season to season. And in a 12-team league, I just really struggle with the two quarterbacks. If we were a 10-team league, I think I'd be
more on board with it.
Well, we were. Well, in 2008, when we were a 10-team league,
we were two QBs
in what we call BC before Chaz. We were a two QB league.
And I get that. I'm in an 8-team league right now. It was actually with a bunch of old residents that Claire worked with. It's honestly mostly a networking thing at this point, but they have two QBs, and that makes total sense to me. It works. Everyone still has 3 or 4 startable QBs. I struggle with it a little bit in our 12-team league, 'cause I feel like, some teams just won't have that many, but it also would really mix up the draft, which could be kind of fun. So that's the part that
I've thought a little bit about it since then. I think for a few years, we were kind of getting into a pattern with the draft, in terms of prices for people and price ranges. And that's kind of where that came from. You know, Chaz kind of shook things up a little bit this year, but in terms of quarterbacks, it's almost like quarterbacks back in like 2011 or 12 were going for like $30 and $40, right, in the draft. And now, you know, if a quarterback breaks like $12 or $12 to $15, like that's like, whoa, pump the brakes here. That's a lot of money for a quarterback. You know, nobody goes for like above like $15 anymore at quarterback. So it's just like everybody's kind of gone to that same strategy of I'm not spending a lot of quarterback. I'm going to spend my money on big name receivers and running backs. So I just wonder, I was just mostly just trying to think of ways in which we can pump up the value of quarterbacks in this league somehow to make the draft at least a little more interesting from that perspective. Other position that's also kind of gone by the wayside is tight end. Because there's nobody spending money on tight ends anymore.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Outside of Ertz and Kelce this year, and I mean, I guess you can call Ebron.
I would put Kittle in that group. Kittle's been very good.
All right, fine. But outside of like a handful of guys, no one else is worth it for tight end. So either you're going to spend the money and have the guy, or you're spending nothing. Right. And in the case of Kittle and Ebron, they basically went for next to nothing compared to Kelce and Ertz.
Well, Kittle was a waiver pickup for me.
Oh, there you go. So he's basically nothing. I tell you what, though, regardless of what we do in terms of changes, whether or not we do or do anything, I'm going to go ahead and throw my shot out there that I believe that Mahomes will go for at least $25 next year.
I wouldn't pay $25 for him.
You sure?
If we don't change anything,
you're telling me, Hino, that if he was going to produce similar stats, you wouldn't pay $25 for him?
No, I wouldn't.
You are insane, sir. I am sorry.
Wait, are you guaranteeing me he's going to throw for 50
right.
plus touchdowns?
Then, yeah, then yeah, I might think about it, but I'm not going to spend $25.
Are you
going to
take that gamble?
Who else
I'd rather stream Big Ben for a buck.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
and then go and then spend my money elsewhere.
See, I no, I can't. I don't believe that anybody in the right mind who is watching Patrick Mahomes play is not willing to take a shot on him and spend money on him next year.
Well, I don't disagree that someone's not going to. So I'm not saying he's not going to go for that. I don't think I'll be that
right.
person.
Somebody,
but,
he'll go for that, but I might not. I probably won't be the person that gets him, though.
All right, fair enough. Now we know
Chaz is going all in on Mahomes next year.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, sure sounds like.
Well, it's been a nice supersized episode. We're going on over 35 minutes, so I appreciate this. Joe, it's been great having you on, even though you freaking hacked your way into our podcast somehow. I don't know how you did that, but it's been great having you. I like having somebody else as a bouncing board to talk to. It's nice. The Chief, now that I don't like having you as my co-host. It's just it's nice having additional.
I'm boring. I get it, Chaz.
Shit, I just knocked my headphones out. Hold on. It's nice having somebody else's opinion on things. It's cool.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the opportunity. It was fun to talk football with you boys, and I'm hoping for a good week here in a couple weeks after the bye.
I like your chances, which means you're probably going to lose.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, Hino. Yeah, that's helpful.
Good luck to you, Joe. Obviously, you're my choice, and I hope you win it. Any guys before we break? Any other thoughts?
Nope. I'm good to go.
All right. Well, everyone, hey, thanks for joining us this week. Once again, thanks to our sponsor, Pocket Cast. Definitely check them out for your podcast listening apps if you're interested. And then obviously, please rate us, subscribe us. And enjoy this early episode, right? Because we're recording this on a Tuesday. So enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you next time on the Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.